That's something that reunions are kind of like that, because everything we do is geared towards praising the Lord and learning more about Him. And again, if you have anything that you think would help us, Glenn and I, as we talk to other people about this, we'd love to have you share those things with us. We've still got some time, Denny.
Just a question: if the vision copy of that is available to anyone, or do you want to keep that to yourself?
You can let me know. Anybody from Buckner, if anybody is not from Buckner and they want to tell me later that they want a copy of it, I'll get your name written down, and then I'll have you put your address down. We'll see that you get it. Thank you, Dennis. Wait a minute, I'll get Ed.
Interesting thing I'd seen on a documentary talking about the natural resources of the earth. Compiled in that area, it had nothing to do with science. They were speaking about just the facts that they knew of, that science approved, that as far as wind, oil, all the resources collectively combined is centered right here. And I thought that was very interesting. They were talking about where resources would come from in the future, the winds that come through Kansas and all the way up the Great Plains, the land that's present, the soil, and the river basins, all those things combined make this the richest area on the earth as well.
Who was over here? Okay, yeah, Kay.
And numbers according to the 12 tribes of Israel, or where they would be. Are they here?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Look on the bottom. Look on the bottom, right here on the bottom down here, Kay.
Oh, sorry.
What about it?
It's representing the tabernacle that Moses described, the 12 gates.
Is that Numbers? It's not Numbers, is it?
No, that's an Exodus.
Yeah. I believe. What? Exodus, Numbers. I'm not sure where Moses placed them around the tabernacle, whether it's Numbers or Exodus, it's in that area. But there's another interesting thing. He also
talked about the birthstone of each one of those tribes. Yeah.
That's the wall of meat of the birthstone of each tribe.
Yes, I'm pretty sure you're right on that.
Yeah.
There's a birthstone.
One of the questions came up in one of the places we were, well, where are all these tribes? Well, we know they're here, and one lady, I said, you're going to have to go, and then we were deciding, well, do we have to go through a certain gate, or just can we go to a gate and get through? Well, again, we don't know that answer, but she says, you mean I have to go through one of those gates? And, well, if we just go back to Noah, and we say that we didn't get anybody from another planet, then somehow, somewhere, if we could go back far enough, and you know we can't, because when we talk about genealogy and all that, even the Mormons can only go back so far as there's records. And up over in here with all these tribes, they maybe wrote it down someplace, or maybe they didn't. And I always thought about it. Wouldn't it be wonderful? You know, I have a difficult last name, Frenstahl. Harry doesn't know how to say it, and a lot of people don't know how to say it. But when you read the Bible, it says Joseph of Arimathea. It says, where was David from? Okay. But it always tells where they were from. You never hear a last name. Okay, so from now on, I'm Paul from Lee Summit. Oh, that's right. I can't do that. Well, you had to ruin it for me. All right, we'll give it some thought.
But I can say I'm Glenn from Independence.
Who else has a comment? Because we're really enjoying the give and take. We've always had good give and take. You guys have been always great.
Yeah, you've done very well.
Here we got Kay, yeah. All right.
We talked about the ordinances this week and the patriarchal blessings, and many times our lineage is mentioned, you know, from Ephraim or Manasseh. I wonder how the Lord has a great plan. Why would He have given us patriarchs, you know, in the cause of Zion, so that those that are gathering in want to know what gate they're going to enter in? You know, I know, just the thought, you know.
Yeah, but you've got a situation here you've got different tribes that have married each other, so now which gate do we come in? We get to come in one of those gates. Yeah.
You're in the comment.
Whether they've been dead for 4,000 years or 5,000, what doesn't make a difference. He knows exactly where they are. And he knows where those people, I kind of got broken up on the little old lady that we talked about in the one conversation. She says, well, I'm not a Jew. And I think if we could go back far enough, she'd be kind of one of these. Somewhere she would be, and if it wasn't so, it wouldn't be important for some people to hear about that in a patriarchal lesson. Because we can't follow it ourselves. We don't absolutely know unless we receive that information in such a blessing. Okay,
I just was pretty much wondering what Kay said there, because I was wondering when it's not given in the blessings, which seems to be the trend in later years, then those people do not know.
Yeah.
Now, mine wasn't given, however, when I had Brother Lou Richards read it, he immediately told me what he thought it was. So,
okay.
But
can I tell you something, Joan?
You can tell me lots of things.
You're going to be in one of these groups. You're going to be here when he comes. You're going to come with him when he comes. You're going to be, well, I know you're not going to probably leave this area, so you're going to be in one of those two groups, and so don't worry about the gates. Okay? But other people, they'll know which one to go to somehow, but they will if they have to go to a certain gate. Now, again, I said, I don't know, but that has to happen that way. It seems that way with Moses, the way he set it up, but I'm not absolutely positive. Who else? Come on, there we are. Okay.
All right, everybody listening, get ready for this.
Never mind.
Come on.
What was I going to say? If you're talking about the tribe that you are or you're not of, if your father and mother were Ephraimites, according to their patriarchal blessing, does that mean that their offspring is Ephraimites?
What'd you say? Here, answer that.
I have known of a few cases where that wasn't so. In other words, they were Ephraimites, and someone else was told he was from Judah, and he didn't like it. But nevertheless, his blessing told him he was from Judah. So it doesn't necessarily mean that just because the parents are Ephraimites, or the parents are Judah, or the parents are Benjamin, or Asher, or Naphtali, or Reuben, or whatever, it doesn't necessarily mean that their offspring are. Because we are born of God. And he decides. It's not a bloodline necessarily. It is a spiritual line, yes, but not necessarily a bloodline.
We were born in Nebraska, Lordy Peggy and I were, but Barb, Miles, and Kathy got brown eyes, Lordy Peggy and I got blue eyes. Now, Dad's eyes are brown, Mother's eyes are sort of a hazel color. But she gave birth to two different families. But Lordy Pig and I were given to know in a picture of blessing we were of Ephraim. Now, Mother's of Benjamin. We don't know Dad's tribe or not, but we were told. Miles and Barb were not. And Kathy.
The one thing I'm certain about with this vision is that at some point in time, Glenn's going to be on that door. Because it was important that the Lord let him know about Dayton. Because Glenn didn't know where it was.
No, I didn't know where it was.
But the Lord does, and he knows that he's going to be there. And I really believe that with all my heart.
You're talking about eye color. Both of my parents had brown eyes. And all of their background had brown eyes. There was only one of the six children in my family that had brown eyes. All the rest of us had blue eyes. Figure that out. My mother and my dad, every once in a while, he would kid her about it, and she didn't like it. But anyway.
I got to tell you about going into Holy City. Can I tell you a story?
Uh-oh.
Does somebody else want to go first? You want to go? Are you ready? Go ahead. It's about you.
Well, then I don't want to talk about myself.
You want me to talk about you? All right. Okay. Now, see, this is just like the campfire in the days of the Lord. When they got around the campfire, we know they told stories during the day of some funny thing that might have happened. Well, I had been thinking a lot about this, and this happened several years ago, but I was trying to figure out how I was going to fit in with all this. And I had a dream. And have you ever had a dream where you could fly? Where you could float across the ground? I don't know. I've had this several times and haven't figured it out. But I was in this dream, and I was floating across the ground, and I was going towards the holy city. I knew I was going there. And so I would float up a little bit, and then my feet would get on the ground, and I'd go fast, and then I'd go up to the top of the hill, and I'd float down the other side, and maybe I'd go fast or float up the other. And I looked off to my right, and on the path was Glenn. And he was walking along like this, and I thought, you know, Glenn's going to have a hard time getting there. I'll just put him on my back and take him. So I did. I put him on my back, and I started floating, and I was running really fast and going down the other side and floating. And all of a sudden, we could see the wall of the holy city, and I went up there, and the door opened up in front, and it was an angel, and it walked out and said, "Glenn, it's good to see you. Park your mule over there and come on in." Are some of you trying to be nice? Park your mule over there and come on in. Okay. All right. Maybe I told that story of Buckner over there. I don't know. But I just thought it was better. All right. I'm curious about this down here, too.
I wouldn't do that to him.
Yeah. I'm curious about this because I'm kind of in the same ballpark that Mary's in. I don't know what the Lord's going to do, but when he comes, we know that this is going to be his number one focus. And we also know that there's going to be Jerusalem that's going to be his focus. And we know that this is the holy city that he talks about because it's the land of promise. And as the scriptures are really clear about that. And so I just don't know exactly how all this is going to come together. But again, those are things that we're not privileged to know at this time, or we may never know until they do happen. But we have to take great comfort in the fact that when we talk about Zion, this is it. This is it. And when we talk about the holy city of Revelation 21, this is it. And it's all described, the size, the location, everything. And these two cities as being, at one point in time, the Western Gate, and at one point in time, the Eastern Gate. And we don't know much about the rest of it. Maybe those will come later, but it's just a wonderful thing. And the Lord allows us to know some things through the leadership of the church and through the high priest in this case. And that we're blessed with that, but the Lord wanted us to know this now because he had that tucked away for 30 years, and it could have stayed tucked away, and he just could have forgot about it, or he could have burned it up, as he tried to do, because he didn't think it was important. The Lord knew it was important, and in this day and age that we're in right now, people have to have the insurance that don't be concerned about many things, because the Lord is still in charge. We've got to do our best, do his work, be doing his work when he comes. Let the Lord take care of that, and let him know. Just like I said in that one vision I had when I saw that Catholic nun standing on a street corner, I didn't have any idea what she was doing there. And I was in the holy city, and I just simply asked him, "What is she doing here?" And the Lord said, "I have need of her." And that was the end of the conversation. So I understood that this woman, Catholic, Jew, Presbyterian, she had a heart that the Lord could see inside and knew that what she had within that heart is what he wanted in the holy city.
In Nephi's vision, he said he saw two churches, the church of the Lamb of God and the church of the devil. It's not going to just be Latter-day Saints in the church. It's going to be the true saints in the latter days. The people from other churches who God knows their hearts. And with this thing of the homosexuals coming in, it's going to divide a lot of churches. There's going to be a lot of people searching. We should be ready to receive them.
What do you think? I hope. What do you think about all those records that we haven't read yet? What do you think they're about? What do you think? Have you got an idea about what they say? You know, not every word. Just, do you have an idea what they might be? Does anybody got an idea about
the portion of the Book of Mormon? You mean like a sealed portion?
Yeah, that's one. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
They have to do with the last days. They have to be.
Get Mary on there.
I was just going to say they have to be with what's coming up because we're going to know in due time what it is. It was just not meant to be known now.
Like some direction? Is that what you're saying? That tells us what?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, all right. Okay. Who else has? I know you've thought about this.
I want to say some.
Yeah.
Okay. I grew up in Independence. I was born in East Independence. So Independence was the beginning of my life, and my father was liked to travel, and so we lived different places, and I wound up in Colorado. But as I remember my teaching, Jackson County contained all of Zion. And so I am extremely grateful that the Lord allowed me to understand just how big it was. Because that's not the tradition of the church. Jackson County would hold everybody. Well, Jackson County's not big enough to hold everyone. It just isn't big enough. And so I'm concerned that this is even big enough. And so I'm glad that I know that the earth is going to be made new. The celestial earth takes in the whole earth, the whole globe, not just what I see on this map. And so it's bigger than I am. It's bigger than most of us are. Our minds just don't comprehend or think beyond that unless the Lord helps us to understand or reveals it to us so that we can understand.
I don't think you're saying that, like the songs that we sing, come to Zion, come unto Zion. I don't think you're saying right now that the people in North Dakota or Michigan or Florida are in Zion at this time.
I think that they are in Zion. We just haven't established it like it ought to be.
Well, from what I remember back in the late 70s, early 80s, the general church was saying, you don't need to come here to be in Zion. You are in Zion already. I can't buy into that because it says the borders of Zion will be expanded just in these scriptures that you have given us. So we're still commanded. If you're not commanded to come, what's the scripture say if you're not, huh? If you're not commanded to tarry, you're supposed to go to Zion. And so I can't believe that the borders of Zion are these strings as of today. I think that'll be in the future when the Zion is expanded. So you're not preaching to stay where you're at by any means. That's what I wanted to clear up. You're not trying to tell people in North Dakota stay there because you're already in Zion.
If they were
put in their heart to come to the center place, that's where they ought to come. In fact, I was perfectly happy in Colorado. That's a gorgeous state. Everything that I wanted to do was there. My family was there. Everything was there. When the Lord spoke to me and asked me to come and move here in 83, my wife said she wasn't going with me. She says, I'm not going. You'll have to go by yourself. Now, that's a big decision to make for someone you love. And I decided that I could make that decision on my own. And so I got in our travel trailer and headed towards this way. Got out in Kansas somewhere, and I couldn't go any further. And I turned around, and I went back. Now, at that point, she said, give me more time, and I'll be okay. But you need to go ahead and go and live up to that which the Lord has asked you to do. And so I did. And it was about 3 months, and she called me up and said, will you pick me up at the airport? And you know my answer. Of course. So I picked her up at the Kansas City airport, and we established our home here in this land. Why I'm here, I don't know yet. I really don't. But I know he wanted me to be here, and here I am. And so I'm here. I'm glad to be here. She was glad to be here. Our children moved here. Most of our family moved here that we knew. And so he had his plan, and his plan is still being fulfilled, as far as I can tell.
I, just to comment on what Glenn said, and I don't, you may never know why you're right here in this life, and I can't help to, you've probably heard it before, but I can't help but relay the life of Stephen, who was stoned and died at the feet of the vicious terrorist that turned out to be one of the most prolific New Testament writers, and that you're witnessing to the people goes beyond your knowledge and expectation. And a personal testimony is to my conversion at 25 to join the church. You know, there's multiple people that were involved in that, and you know, Glenn was one of them. He didn't know it, and he still probably doesn't understand it. But I was not a member, and he came and spoke at the Warrensburg, where I was traveling and attending, and it was part of my conversion to have. I couldn't tell you what he spoke of. I can't tell you what he said, but I can tell you the spirit in which it was received. And so I can testify to you, Glenn, that you benefited me by being here. And so I'm sure that I'm not the only soul that you, the Lord used you for. So I appreciate your ministry, and it, and again, it goes on, and I would feel fairly confident saying that to each one of us, that our ministry goes beyond what we expect. And so, and so many times when we do our mission work, we expect a return, and we're conditioned, we have mission creep, if you will, we're conditioned in this world that we only put our time and energy into what's going to yield us in this time. What can I yield from it? What can I see gain from it? Where do I put my money? Where do I plant my corn? What's going to produce out of it? And the Lord's work is beyond what we can plant. And it's a spiritual nature, and I can't start to explain that. But.
You know, I heard it said from the pulpit one time, and I don't remember where it was, and I don't even know how they figured this, but when you talk about all the people that could be here, and there's certainly enough room for all of them, if you've ever driven from here to Denver, you know that nobody even lives over here. I mean, you can look on both sides of the roads, and you don't hardly see a house. So Kansas can handle quite a bit, but it's not so hard. But the thing that they said was, when you talk about, okay, you're going to have all those people, how are you going to feed them? The person said to me that they had done measurements of all the interstate highway four-leaf clover interchanges. You know, whether you got four places where you can go up and turn around and go this way, turn and go around. And they measured the space, because they're pretty, the size of these are pretty universal without any kind of a land problem, but they're pretty much the same. And they measured the amount of ground space in each one. And they said if we took all the four-quarter interchanges and planted wheat in those areas where there is earth, we could feed the world bread. Now, that's an incredible thing to say. But when you're driving down the highway and you see all these places where you can get off and circle around and do all of that, and they always call this the heartland area of being able to grow things, there's plenty of room to be able to do all that. And we've certainly got enough farmers that we just turn them loose and say, grow, and bring the foods into the locations. And I go back, and again, I it talks about that the it's one of those things that we kind of, I believe, because I feel this way, that the gospel shall go into all the world. Well, I think and then the end comes. Well, that's what the apostles wanted to know, and they said, what are the things that will happen before the end comes and the wicked die? Well, I believe that the gospel, because you know who is tied up in a hole, and he has 1,000 years that he can't do anything. He can't tempt anybody to do anything. They're going to make their own decisions about him. They may not be good decisions, but he's not going to be able to tempt anybody. And they're out here, and the missionary activity is going on without that major temptation. He's locked up. He's going to have people, once all this has moved in here from all these countries and nations and everything, and this city is all the way out to its full boundaries, and we're ready to go, and he gets loosed, he's going to be going to those that have really made the choice not to be a part of this. Because even in 1,000 years, you know what? I think I could almost learn something. The most stubborn, hard-headed people that have stood in front of you and said, you know, you guys in that church are screwballs because you believe all these different things. And you need to rethink those things. And I know that because I'm involved in the church, that I've had people that have kind of, it's kind of like they come down in our lifetimes, they see us and they kind of go around us. They don't stop by like they used to and visit us because I'm a minister and I'm in that church and I'm in Joseph Smith's church, whatever they want to call it. And they don't want to be involved in that because I think when they come through the door, I'm going to start, you know, the slides up to go you and teach. And they just, you know, they're afraid. I don't know. Maybe they just don't want that in their life. But when these doors open up and this is established, those are the people that I feel like I want to go out. There have been people in your lifetime that you wish were in the church. They could be family members. They could be other people that you know. That's the time that we go get them. That's the time that we go get them. Because the ones in our lifetime and the lifetimes before that have made all the negative decisions and they're now in the prison house, they're not going to be a part of this. Because they don't come out until the second resurrection.
They won't be raised up until 1,000 years.
Until the second resurrection. Okay? I don't know where that... Did you know where that one reference is, Glenn, that you said you read that said something about possibly there could be some that could come from the prison house to the first wizards? Did you have a reference on that, or was that something that you had heard somebody else say?
There's a reference on those that come out of the prison house because Christ went to the prison house to get them out.
Yeah.
And some of them came out and some of them stayed, and some of them didn't come out until the second resurrection. Right? If I recall the scripture, I'd have to look it up.
Now, they're there for quite a while. They're there. If they go there today, they're there, and the world... This begins to happen tomorrow. They're there for 1,000 years. So that's quite a long time. Then the second resurrection, they go to the judgment bar, and they're judged in all for all the things that they have done and what levels now they brought themselves to, which we hope that are good. But everybody else that's in the world that's out here, we got to go out and talk to them because and we've got to get with them and all those that we feel like that we haven't done enough with, that one person maybe in our life that we have not given a Book of Mormon to that we feel like we always should have. And we don't want to stand at their judgment bar and say, no, I didn't do it. I don't want to anyway. And so I'm trying to get that corrected. And there's a lot of other things that need to be corrected in my life too. But those are all things in preparation. Because there's one thing I know for sure. I want to be here. I want to be here. This is where I want to be. Because the promises that we can be there, that's where I want to be. Right there. And I want to see all of you there. And I want to see all my family that has gone before me that I know will be there. And all the other people in my life that I know had an influence on me and in a positive way, especially in the church, they're going to be there. What a wonderful reunion. What a wonderful thing not to be afraid of, not to push off to one side because we just don't want to talk about it. What a wonderful thing. Because sooner or later, either in this life or in the life to come, we're going to be there. We're going to be part of that. That's our goal, okay? All right, what else we got, Glenn? We're doing pretty good. We got 10 minutes left. Wow, we did the whole 2 hours. Any other comments real quick? Questions? Inserts? You guys have been wonderful all week. You've been wonderful. I thought, well, surely that group is probably washed away after last night. And you survived. You survived. And it's always good to see you. So we thank you for being here and being such a wonderful group. Because I'll tell you, when Glenn and I started looking at this, we thought, how are we going to keep them going for 2 hours? And you have kept us going for 2 hours with all your input. Thank you so much. Glenn, I'm going to ask you to give a closing prayer today.
Eternal God, our Father in heaven, we're so grateful to be here in this reunion experience, to have the fellowship of each one that is present and to have their input into our classes has strengthened me, has encouraged me, has given me new direction. I pray that it has given them new direction, that they will be more dedicated to your cause and realize that we are in the very last chapter just before you come. We know not the exact time, but we're looking forward to it, and we know that that'll be a glorious and wonderful time. And we know that your coming must be imminent because of all the things that are happening within this free country, this choice land, this land that was promised to all those who would serve you. And so we pray that there's still enough people within this land to turn it around, to cause it to become extremely free, free to choose, free to be your people, free to have your Holy Spirit to guide and direct us, and we thank you for it. We thank you that you have been with us this week and that you will continue to be with these people the rest of this reunion experience. Bless their hearts, bless the Spirit, and may you continue to guide and direct them is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.